Oh, there's Jesus offending people for 2,000 years. They took offense at him. Just suppose, though, that it wasn't 2,000 years ago. It's maybe a different time. What if we reimagine this morning's reading as if it were taking place, say, in the early Middle Ages? We used to call those the Dark Ages, when apparently there was no art or anything going on, but not really. But the early Middle Ages, this is the time period that includes Muhammad, Charlemagne, and the Vikings. And maybe it would have gone something like this. Jesus traveled to the place where he was born, followed by those who many thought were his subjects. It was the day of worship, and he disrupted the rules by teaching without permission. The things he said amazed the ones who heard. They could not understand how someone who lacked any kind of respectable upbringing could have any knowledge or power at all. They took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "Your respect and honor is for anyone except the ones who come from here." He was disturbed that they would not believe. He went out to the smaller areas and healed a few people. Then he called the ones thought to be his subjects and sent them out to the towns all around. He told them to take nothing with them and to expect hospitality from those they met. If the welcome was absent, he instructed them to leave town while making insulting gestures against those who refused hospitality. So they went out and told people to turn from their wicked ways. Or they went out. They cast out demons and cured those who were sick. Kind of similar, right? Kind of similar, except the shaking the dust off your feet was met instead with insulting gestures. But how about the High Middle Ages? Or this is what we really have called the Middle Ages, the time period that has the Crusades, a really fine historical moment for the Christians, right? Oh. But the Crusades, the Magna Carta, the Mongol invasions, some things would be similar to the Dark Ages or the early Middle Ages. Jesus came to his hometown with his band of followers. It was the High Holy Day, and he came to the place to worship and to teach. Those who were there did not understand. "What is he talking about?" they said. "What is all this about love and forgiveness? What is all this healing with out total submission to the God on high?" They took offense at him. Jesus told them that their ways of expressing love were completely wrong, but they had no way to see that from him because he wasn't one of the elite. He did heal a few people, but no one really noticed. He went and taught in the surrounding provinces. Then he gathered his band and sent them out, not to conquer in his name, but to share love and healing. He told them that they would be taken care of, but if they weren't, they should leave. So they went out with any weapons, and they preached about love and healed those all around. So maybe in this time where you've got to have God, otherwise you can't live, or the Christianity was taking over as an extreme power. So Jesus would have been in the power class. And so instead of being insulting to the people who didn't follow him, just leave. Go on and do something else. That was Jesus' way. Or how about the time of the Reformation, though? This is in the 1500s. Martin Luther, John Calvin, Huldrych Zwingli. They preached and preached and preached. Jesus left where he was and ended up with his disciples where he was born. He went to church and started talking to the folks as if he knew something special. They heard him, but he wasn't speaking about the rules and the customs they knew and understood. He even healed people who were sick. They argued with him and ultimately told him that he must not speak of such things. He had no business doing so because he was not authorized to speak. And furthermore, he was just a child who grew up with them. They took offense at him. Jesus told them that if he had come from the outside telling them the things he said, they might listen, but they couldn't see through their preconceived ideas. He stopped at that point, though he did heal a few people later. He went to the surrounding towns and spoke with the people there. Then he called his disciples and sent them out with only the clothes they were wearing. He told them to trust the people in the surrounding towns to take care of them, but if they didn't, they should belch loudly and leave. So the disciples went out and told the people that God's love was for them and that no one could take it away from them, no matter what. So they went out and preached about faith in and from God, and they brought healing to many. At a time where people were selling indulgences, Jesus said, "No, that's not the way. And yes, to belch loudly didn't just mean the meal was good. It was an insult to share in someone's direction. I guess much like it is today. You can use that as an insult, but it was an even louder insult back in the time of Martin Luther. But let's move ahead now to the U.S. Civil War. Folks like Owen Lovejoy, you ever heard that guy? Owen Lovejoy was alongside Abraham Lincoln. Owen Lovejoy was an abolitionist, a huge abolitionist, and he's part of the history of the United Church of Christ. In the Fox Valley or the Illinois Conference, we have a Lovejoy Society that still hands out scholarships to people that are working on justice issues. And Owen Lovejoy is pretty famous in United Church of Christ circles, but you don't see his name in too many history books. But Owen and Abraham Lincoln giving voice to a moment or a movement to end slavery in the United States. So Jesus had been on the road, and he took some time to come back to his hometown. He had quite a following with him. He went to the church and began teaching that all are part of God's family and that no one should be treated as less than any person. No one is less than. Many agreed with him, as they had on the road, but others were skeptical and even angry. "Where does he think he is? Washington?" they said. "We know who he is. He's a nobody from nowhere, just like us. He can't say or do anything that will matter a bit." And they took offense at him. Jesus told them that folks everywhere heard him and trusted in what he said, but that nobody could see past their ideas, that he was just a local kid. He didn't do anything really impressive in his hometown, though he did make a few sick people well. He was amazed that they wouldn't listen to him. Then he went out to the local towns and continued telling his message. He called together those who were following him, and he sent them out to teach and to heal. He told them to do no fundraising in preparation and to go without any supplies, that the townsfolk would take care of them. If the townsfolk rejected them, he said they should just move on and not let the door hit them on their way out. So they went out and preached love and equality for all the people. It brought restoration and healing in the towns all over the U.S. Civil War. Or how about the civil rights movement? Folks like Dr. Martin Luther King, Otis Moss Jr., whose son is a preacher at Trinity UCC in Chicago, one of our United Church of Christ congregations, and the Reverend Jesse Jackson. Jesus came home, joined with friends from all different backgrounds. He went to the church and started to teach about the equality of all people. He told them that he came to upset the apple cart of power. They were amazed at what he said, and they wondered how this local child could know things of such magnitude. They didn't think he had the right to speak, though, being a person who didn't have the right color skin. They took offense at him. They told him that he told them that they couldn't see past their worn-out ideas of race and power. He didn't even try to impress them, but he did heal a few people. Then he went out to the places where the descendants of slaves lived in small homes, and he started preaching. Then he called his friends together, and he sent them out to the small settlements and to the towns. And they told him just to go, nothing with them at all. He said that the people out there would take care of them. If they didn't, they should kick up some dust and head on out. So they went out and told the people that they needed to get things right, that justice was for all people, and it was on its way. They found that the people were changed by their presence. They preached and prayed, and people were healed. Well, what about today? A culture that is heavily influenced by digital communication. The I culture, I guess you'd call it. Jesus posted some of his daily thoughts on Facebook. And he Instagrammed a picture of his breakfast. Throughout the day, he posted some profound things on his timeline, and some of the folks who saw his feed were amazed that someone who had no business writing profound things was doing it. Several made snarky comments about his family and his upbringing and pointed out that someone ought to talk some sense into him. Of course, Jesus responded to their comments by saying that so many folks from all over the world love me. What's your problem? And he decided that he wouldn't spend any energy there to make them happy. Then he went to a group where his closest friends would gather to chat, and he told them to make lots of new groups. It was on Facebook. on Facebook, or maybe LinkedIn, or Google Plus, though he rethought Google Plus when he saw the usage trends, many other social network sites. He wrote to them just to make the groups. No intense web design and no pre-planned discussion questions. And he also said that if they made the groups and the folks there started making an overabundance of snarky comments and hate, that they should just make a "I'm closing this page" announcement and go on to the next opportunity. So they made the groups and welcomed folks, offering them a reason and a way to turn towards God. They prayed with folks in real-time prayer chapels, offered words of encouragement and healing with posts and comments and forum discussions, and many people experienced a reconnection to God and a restored awareness of faith in their lives. So many different time periods, imagining what it would be like. And you know, in any age, Jesus' message of God's love for the world is, it's a welcome one to us here. It's a welcome one to a lot of people, but it's also a subversive one. It threatens those who see power as something to push others down. It's threatening to people who just have an endless pursuit of power in order to raise themselves up. It threatens those who abuse power. Threatens them because it says that those who abuse power will become powerless. It promises healing and restoration for the ones who live in places of powerlessness and hopelessness. Jesus' message of God's love promises unconditional love for all. And it's, you know, it's not about patriotism. This is a great weekend to be patriots. This is a great weekend for us to show the love of our country, but God's love isn't about patriotism at all. It's not about any form of national pride. God's love knows no boundaries. God's blessings are not reserved for any nation. Jesus' message of God's love is a welcome one and also a subversive one. And it's with that welcome and, yes, subversive love in any age that we, as God's people, that we, as St. Paul's United Church of Christ, that we, as the church, that we, as humanity, it's with that subversive love that we are sent. Amen.